I want to begin really by honoring this church, and I know that both Pastor Calvin and Catherine, not here, BC, but I really want to honor the leadership of this church for being in faith and all of you that step out to really plant this church together. And I know that it's not easy, and there's a lot of hard work, there's a lot of heart and hard work, okay? Given into all of this and to make this possible. And also every time I get to catch up with some of the ENPJ people, like sometimes I see John, or when I see Keith, Suleen, or you know, Sam and Ronald, or Josh, or Joey, or whatever, Christine, and I want to applaud every one of you for serving and for really being such a pioneering spirit, and to be able to do this, okay? I still cannot get used to the many screen. So when you have announcement, you have four different announcements all at the same time. Wow. So every one of you must be super multitasking, okay, for you to be able to get all of that, okay? I know they're in Bali, and the only Bali that we know is the Bali drink that we drink. So they've asked me to share something. And so last weekend, I talked about the amazing, we kind of end the amazing grace with the grace of serving, okay? But before that, I think I need to show you the picture of my family. Okay, well, just in case some of you do not know my family, that's how my family looks like. Three boys, one girl, and the eldest, 23, my son, and the youngest is 12. Youngest is Joanna. Most colorful, most aggressive, and you know, she grew up with three boys, so she fight for everything. So the other day, the teacher in the school sent me a video. She said, "Pastor, your kids, Joanna, she's either going to be a great leader or she's going to boss everybody around." And so in the class, they showed me a video clip. They were having a group discussion. She was sitting down there, and she said, "You say this and you say that and you start this," and you know, she said, "This is either inherited from you or this is way overseeded." Okay, but that's my family. Thoroughly enjoy with every one of them. We're going to talk about serving grace. Okay, now. This amazing series, we've kind of gone through for the sixth weekend. And Amazing Grace is to appreciate the things that God has done for us. Every one of us have been a recipient of someone's grace. Can I go to amen? Every one of us, okay? It could mean that when you go and buy zap fan and forget to take money and then someone pay for you, you go to pay your car park ticket and no money and someone have to pay for you. Either it was a grace or it was they couldn't stand, yeah? Because, you, okay, whichever it is, okay? But at least you want to look at it from a grace point of view. You know, or just things that people give, you know? And I told this story in Puchong that one of the houses that I visited during Chinese New Year was a friend of ours in our church who told me the story. I was commenting on the house. It's so nice. I said, "Pastor, this house is really the result of someone's grace." I said, "How did it happen?" So he said that this person queued up the whole night and wanting to buy that house. So the next morning, he says, when I went there, I was so far behind. And then this guy just waved at me. And then I kind of went over. He says, "Do you want my spot? I couldn't make it. I have to rush." And so he took his spot and managed to buy the house. So he said, "I bought the house really by someone's grace who gave up his spot that he's lined up for hours, and I don't even have to pay him an ang pao or, you know, anything like that." Okay, so, you know, sometimes in our life, we are just recipients of someone's grace. My personal story of recipient of someone's grace was when I was studying in U.S., I had a kind of a stiff neck, and the way doctor explained is, whenever we are stressed, it appears differently. For some of you, when you are stressed, it appears in the migraine form. For some of you, when it's stressed, it appears in non-stop eating form. Okay, for some of you, that's like that. For some of you, when it have migraine, you want to sleep the whole day. So for me, when I'm stressed, it just kind of tense up my whole entire shoulder. So I had a spasm, okay? And I still remember the spasm was so bad that I couldn't get up in the morning. I was lying on my bed. I have to shout for my housemate who came into my room and lift up my head. Cut a long story short, I went to see a, by then, this was about 15, 20, anything more than that. This is 30 years ago. Come to think of it, okay? 30 years ago when I was about 4 years old. And so took me to a doctor. My friend took me to a doctor, which is a chiropractor, which is unheard of in our context right now, early days. And this chiropractor looked at mine, and she doesn't even know what to do, you know, and for the, because she said it was so painful, it was so tense. So just apply some gel, you know, try to, you know, just make it a bit more comfortable. At the end of the treatment, when I was about to pay, I went to the counter. I asked for how much is it, and then the cashier went in to ask the doctor, and then came up and said that the doctor says that you must take the whole treatment, then you pay one time. Then I said, how many treatments do I need to come? And then she said, the doctor say about for the next 3 weeks, you know, a month, you have to come about 2-3 times a week. There's about 12 times and all those, and then 12 to 15 times. And I said, how much does it cost, you know, each time? Then she looked at me, she said, maybe about 100 US, you know, 80, 100 to 120, depending on how many machine you use, you know, all those. So being a Chinese and Malaysian, my math was working, right? So by then, I was self-supporting. Now, I calculated, ultimately, I have to pay about 1,005 to 2,000 US. Do you know that itself will cause us even more migraine, stiff neck, sleep disc, diarrhea, whatever it is, okay? Everything will happen the moment you need to pay that money when you earn $4 per hour, okay? That is the minimal wages. So I look at the cashier, I said, can I pay for this one? And then, you know, we'll come back, okay? But in my mind, of course, I pay, I won't come back already. And she said, no, the doctor insists that you don't pay anything until the last treatment. I said, okay. So I went off, you know, my friend can see that I was quite down, depressed. I said, so what happened? I said, nothing, you know, just need to pay a lot of money, you know. Then, you know, I came each week, you know, and by the end of the fourth week, or the fifth week, I cannot recall. I went back to her, and she did the final treatment. And I was, I went to the cashier with fear and trembling. I look at her, I said, how much is it, the whole treatment? She wrote a bill, and then passed it to me. It was $8. You know, I want you to know that when people undercharge you, pay the money and walk off, okay? I mean, you know, at that moment, you don't have to like, is this true or not? No need, okay? That's just, it's really, okay? So, don't be kepo, okay? People say, okay? So, I look at her, I said, thank you very much, you know? No, but I will look at her, I said, how can it be? This cannot be, you know? I came so much time, you told me how much. She said, I don't know, that's what the doctor says. And then she looked at me, she says, the doctor told me that everything is free, except the relaxant muscle that pills that you need to take, she will only charge you for that. Then I said, could I see the doctor? And then I went in and I saw the doctor. You know, she's like 20, 30 years older than me. I feel like kissing her, you know. But I scared after that the bill become very expensive, okay? Anyway, so I went to her and I said, thank you so much for your grace. And then she said this. She says, the first day when they brought you to see me, and she has no relationship with the person that brought me. She doesn't even come from the church, from the Bible college that I go to. She said, the first time I saw you, and I saw your profile, you're from Malaysia and studying here, I decided that I'm not going to charge you, which is why I insisted that you come back every time until you are well. You know, all of us are a recipient of someone's grace, and you will be forever grateful whenever someone showed grace unto you. Now, the word grace, unmerited favor, all the unearned, undeserved good things that comes our way. And the way John was the one that brought up the concept of grace. And I like the way John introduced Jesus. Something about John is special. John outlived all the disciples. John knew Jesus, loved Jesus, and John took care of Jesus' mouth. So when you put that three little things equation and piece it together, John is a very unique disciple. So this is the way John introduced Jesus. The best person to introduce Jesus is John. So he captured Jesus, not full of power, not full of might. He says he is full of grace and truth. But what I like is the last portion of the verse. And he says this. He says, for from his fullness we have all received, could you say together, grace upon grace. So which means this, if you have said yes to God, but you have not encountered the grace of God, You've only encountered condemnation. You've only encountered people saying what's right and wrong. And then there's something wrong with your relationship with God. That's not what who Christ is. When you encountered God, you encountered grace upon grace. You know, today after the service, we just had a group of about 40 to 50 young adults. Okay, 40 to 50s, they are all in their 30s lah. We still call them young adults. The 20s are the younger adults, okay? So we had about the 30s one kind of gathered together, and actually there's about way more than that, but that was just the 4 or 5 live group that I sort of, I don't know if you know the story, 2017 I started to reach out to people and started with 14 of them, got saved, and this group just grew and grew and grew, and now we're about 40, 50 under that wing, spread into 4 or 5 live group, and most of them were live group leaders of 1 year old. In fact, just now, the one that's doing the whole thing, used the S word. Oops, and then, oops, sorry, Pastor. And then because they were just young. They were just really young Christians, okay? So anyway, why did I tell that? Oh, yeah, that's right. And for all of them, just 1 year old Christian, they talk about the grace of God. They talk about however they said yes to God. They talk about the grace of God that supplied this and, you know, and so amazing. Now, because the grace of God has so much facets, thus in this series, we talk about the justifying grace, the grace of God that turns someone from sinners to be a saint, so to speak. Then the sanctifying grace, the grace that changed you. So if you're an angry person, meet the grace of God. If you are a greedy person, meet the grace of God. If you are someone that struggles with lust, meet the grace of God, that sanctifying grace that changes. And then the enriching grace of God, the overcoming grace, the sustaining grace, and inviting grace was to come to the throne of God for grace and mercy. I want to kind of begin by telling you this story. Okay, this is Joanna, and this is Joanna, and the one taking photo is Sipeng. Sipeng and Joanna, they are both from our church. Sipeng serves in the Kensing, which is our Chinese church. And Joanna is from China. She stays in the northern part of China, which is about 20,000 kilometers away from Wuhan. Okay, so to cut a long story short, she went back for Chinese New Year, being that's where she came from. And what happened was, they were planning to stay in China up till 4th of February. That is a very significant date because 4th of February, they need to fly back because 5th of February, Sipeng runs out visa in China. On the 9th of February, Joanna runs out her visa to stay in Malaysia. So they need to come back on the 4th of February to settle everything. So if you can recall the Wuhan story, the day before Chinese New Year, the Wuhan story just kind of went viral. Right, and so they prayed about it. This the Chuxi lah, which is the night before Chinese New Year, and both of them felt like they needed to take a flight back home earlier. So the next day, which is the first day of Chinese New Year, they call, and nobody pick up the phone. Understandably, because it's Chinese New Year, every person in China is Chinese, so nobody works. Okay, on the second day, they called, and 9 a.m. she said, someone pick up the phone. I was a little bit reluctant because I think they are also bombarded with so many phone calls. And Sipeng said, you know, we are going to change our flight. We're going to fly back before 4th of February. What are the dates that you have? And then, you know, if you want to fly back on 30th, is that possible? They were working through all of that. And then the person said, yes, it's possible. But you will be charged 4,500 ringgit extra because of the change of time and flight and everything. You know, they can't look at each other, you know, and they need to make a decision there and then. So they're willing to pay the money, but 4,500 is a lot. Then Sipeng had a thought. Sipeng said, could you just check with your supervisor, is there a policy of free exchanges of flight because of the Wuhan? Just check one more time, just help me. The person went, 3 minutes later, he came back. He says, you are the most lucky man. The memo just came out. Congratulations. You are the first customer that gets to change and is FOC. Wow. And 3 days later, the whole family flew back. And obviously, I asked them to quarantine themselves. You know, just being responsible for everything. Just being a responsible family. But, you know, in reflection, both of them was telling us, he says, Pastor, it was really the grace of God. That we are able to fly back here, meet the deadline, don't have to pay the extra, and we are safe. You know, something about the grace of God, unmerited. But you get it because that's just who God is. Okay. Now today we're going to talk about serving grace. So all this while, most of the grace that we talk about is we are the recipient. God changed me. God loves me. God, you know what I'm saying? But today's serving grace is about you being someone who experienced the grace of God, and you're going to extend it to someone else. Okay, so we're going to talk about serving grace. I want to begin by the tension of serve and deserve. Okay, it was, I believe that for many years, the world is divided by the rich and the poor, the have and the have not. Then Jimmy Carter, I still remember, in Newsweek magazine, gave a speech and told the world that with the internet coming, the world is not going to be just divided by the have and the have not. The world is going to be divided by the know and the know not. The new world is about how much knowledge, not how much money you have. Well, from a Christian point of view, I think the world is divided by the serve and the deserve. People who understand what it means to serve, and people who live their life thinking that they always deserve. You know, you see these two tensions work out in your everyday life. You see this tension work out when you were very young. When you play kindergarten, whatever, you see people who refuse to share toy because they deserve everything. And there are kids who saw every toy, they felt they deserve to own every toy that you own as well. Right? Because they just felt deserve. When you go to school, your primary or secondary school, how many of you are those that the moment you have some tips for something, you never want to share with anybody? Don't lift up your hand, okay? Right? You just want to keep it to yourself. You want to make sure that you are the one that scored the highest and you just don't like to share. The moment you go to marketplace, you know, then you're going to meet people who will never share the load of your office. Have you met people like that? They are the most selfish. They come the latest. They go back the earliest. Whenever they have a team meeting, they say, oh, they are very good at Tai Chi. You know, why don't you help me? And then, you know, they scotch free, you know, whatever. I know you consistently see just a representative. And potentially, what has happened for past 1 week, you see two kinds of people. One who really want to serve and one who always felt they deserve. They deserve because this is their land. They deserve to be corrupted. They just felt they deserve it. And then you got another group of people that just so want to serve, but never had a chance. So the world, in my personal opinion, is really divided by people who serve and people who felt deserve. Potentially, the peak of all this thing was reflected with the China One Child Policy. When the China One Child Policy came up, the result, this is 1978, 1980, when the policy came out. Fast forward to the year 2000, and now you see more and more because all this single child now has grown up. The 20 years of being a single child, never get to share their toy. Grandfather, great-grandfather, father, mother, who everybody poured their love to one single child who is the recipient of everything that they want in life. 20 years from now, when they've grown up, they have become what the terminology psychologists call it, the little emperor syndrome. Today, it's an official psychological terms. And you can Google about it, and it gives you YouTube clips about the little emperor syndrome in the West and how all this has entered. It talks about how the little emperor syndrome is great for consumer because whatever they want, they get it. And all that little thing that talks about this. But my point is this, because this is after 20 years and you see them grow up. Pastor Moses, our pastor from China, about 7-8 years ago when he came back, and then he told me this. This is there was one YouTube clip of a child who was run over by a truck and laid there, fighting for her life, about a 5-year-old or 4-year-old child. And it counted 17 people walked past by and nobody helped. Kind of shook the whole world. And Moses came and told me another story that happened in the Fujian, where he is. He talked about a young man in his 20 years old. What happened was he was driving and then he hit someone. And then he came out from the car and saw that this person is still alive. So in his mind, he calculated, it is more expensive to pay the medical bill to keep him alive than to pay the one-time fine of killing this man because of an accident. So he removed his car and went on to go over this man twice to literally kill him so that he will not have to bear so much of the financial cost. Can you imagine? Now, obviously, this was found out in later in CCTV, you know, all that, and he was caught and all those. But little emperor syndrome, people who think deserve and people who think serve. 1 Timothy 3 talks about in the last days, people will be self-absorbed. And then he gives you the rest of the illustration of how does that look like. And then at the end of the day, at the end of that passage, he says, avoid this man. I tell you, if you are a company owner, that's not the kind of man you want to marry, you want to hire. If you are a woman looking for men, that's not the kind of man you want to marry. People who always think that they deserve and people who do not know how to serve. One of the signs that I look for leaders, for people, is are they people who are willing to serve? Do they have a servant hearted? Now, I must say that every one of you are very servant in this house. So I know that I'm preaching to a choir, but I want to solidify just your heart of serving. Now, so today I want to use 1 Peter 4, which is a passage that I thought brought up the way God wants you to serve. A little bit background, 1 Peter, Peter wrote it at the peak of persecution. This is maybe AD 50. And a couple of years later, Peter was beheaded, or rather crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Paul could not be crucified. Do you know why? Because he has a Roman citizen. No Roman citizen will ever crucify, because that was the worst criminal execution ever. So Paul was beheaded, not crucified, because that was a very painful death. But anyway, Peter wrote this, says, the end of all things is near, therefore, be of sound judgment and of sober spirit by the purpose of prayer. He talk about what to do when end time comes. He talk about what to do when time of pressure is on the high, what to do when things are not going well, okay? He says, first of all, you must grab the whole prayer. Number two, he says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So he talks about fire community. A prayer community is like a little coin back to back. You know, you just got to have it daily in your life. Don't live alone, you know, but learn how to live in community. And then what happened was, he continued to say, he says, be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one. Everybody turn to a neighbor, say each one. Okay. Is there anyone here you do not belong to each one? All right, all of us belong to each one, because that's everyone, each one, right? Each one has received a spiritual gift. That means God has given you. And then he says, employ it, or special gift. Employ it, or some versions say, use it to serve one another as a good stewards of the many-folded grace of God. Now, I want you to look at this verse a bit carefully, okay? So the Bible says God has many-folded grace. Many-folded grace means his grace comes in many, many forms, okay? So whenever someone opened the door, that's the grace of God. When someone welcomed you, that's the grace. When someone, make cake for you, cook for you, when they sing, everything was the grace of God. Now, obviously, we want you to use your special gift, right? Because if you use your gift at the wrong spot, if you get a drummer to try to cook, then it's a disgrace, not a grace. Okay, just kidding. Okay. You try to get a chef to play the drum, then that's not the manifolded grace of God. That's the, you know, anyway, right? But you understand what I'm trying to say, okay? But the Bible says, if you have that little grace, okay, and then you kind of just distribute everyone, and then he says, when you understand you're good stewards of the manifolded of grace of God, then what happened, okay? He says, whoever speak is to do as one who is speaking. Whoever serve is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. He said, whatever you do, don't do it out of your own strength. Do it with the grace of God supplies to you, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all the glory. He says, whenever you do that, he says, God gets glorified. Now, very quickly, okay? Serving grace looks like this. Number one, Serving begins with stewardship. Stewardship is an understanding that everything that you own belongs to God. Right? Everything. Your car, your... You know, I don't know whether have I told you this story, but back in my Puchongcha, I used to tell this story. There's one day someone called me and says, Pastor, here's a bit of a Catholic kind of a background, okay? So he says, Pastor, I just buy a new car. Could you help me to dedicate my car? So he always called me, I got a new house. Could you come and dedicate my house? Could you? So sometimes I got a new pet. Could you dedicate? And sometimes, so he says, I got a new car. Could you come and dedicate the... So thinking that, a lot of people think that I dedicate to God means God will bless me whatever I own. So I told him on the phone, I said, you sure you want to dedicate your car? I said, dedicate your car means you allow God to use your car. So if God says you need to fetch kids, you know, your car can or not. Sometimes kids vomit, can or not, okay? I said, you sure you want to dedicate? And then he said, like that. He said, let me think about it, okay? Now, because dedicate simply means, well, eventually he did. But serving with stewardship, that means you understand everything that you have comes from God. What are the things that you have that you recognize God has gifted you? All of us, we have different ones, okay? Serving with God's strength, which means that you are not trying to do it by your sheer strength, but you're doing it because of the conviction that God puts in your heart. My favorite story, in our church, there are so many people that's like that, but my favorite story really goes to David Binhu and Tian Ni and also Andrew. Some of you do not know them, but Tian Ni and Andrew have a twin. They got four kids, and about 4 years ago, God gave them a twin by the name of Aaron and Emmeline. And what happened was when they grew up, when they given birth, they were normal baby. But somewhere about 9 months before they hit 1 year old, they found out one day they both sort of have their hand curved like a rabbit, you know, like a hanging rabbit like that. And they rushed them to the hospital and found out that they had GA1, which is a very rare disease, extremely, extremely rare. When they went to UM, it was recorded historically, Malaysia had only 9 cases. Theirs is the 10th and the 11th. And they had what they call GA1, and it's a mutation of a genetic that what happened is every time you take any milk, and certain protein, it actually kills and destroys your nerve. So for past 9 months to a year, they've been feeding milk. Instead of actually growing and strengthening the muscle, it's killing the nerve. So when they found out, and honestly, at this stage, some of them, the oldest, is already in their 20s and they couldn't walk, they will be, medically speaking, almost forever in such a state. So can you imagine, you have these two kids that suddenly was hit with all these things. The family plunged into depression. I mean, there was just so many. Now, of course, as a church, we stood with them and in every capacity. It was a very difficult journey, lots of tears. And Aaron seems to be better, as at least he can move his hand a bit. Emmeline was really a struggle. But you know what? Something about their decision. They serve in our Connect Corner once a month. And every time they serve, these are the amount of food that they will cook. So to make that happen, all of them, except Andrew potentially, all of them will wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. And they will spend preparing everything to bring to the church at 10:30 or 10 o'clock. So that they can serve. And they gave wholeheartedly for this. You know, and every time they do this, and I thought about, if there's any family deserve the right to think deserve, are you with me? It's them. Pastor, we deserve all the help. We deserve all the care. We deserve, right? But they serve with God's strength. And they rise up. They're one of my favorite heroes of life. Just to be able to walk through that and kid you not, David and Binhu, they're already in their late 70s. and to be you know, together with the whole family, just an amazing story. All right, number three, you serve to really honor God. Whatever we do, that God gets glorified. You know, last year we told all our serving team this little story, and we kind of created a way to brand why we serve and why we do what we do. This is the story of Queen of Sheba, who heard about Solomon, okay? And she came all the way to visit Solomon. This is before any travel ban, okay? So when she came and visited Solomon, she said this: when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his official, attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. So okay, when Queen of Sheba came, to the dot, she noticed everything. She noticed the ushers, she noticed how people sit, she noticed the food, she noticed everything, the clothing, the smell, and she kind of walked away, no more breath. You know, whenever you saw something incredible, what was the thing that would come out from your mouth? Wow. All of us have a wow moment. I still remember one of my friends who went to Niagara Falls. He says, "Pastor, all I can say is wow." I've never been to Niagara Falls, but when I was in Portland, I went to Mount Noma Falls, which is, I don't know how many hundred feet high waterfall. You know, all our waterfall is kindergarten compared to the real waterfall. All our waterfall is like, you know, trickles fall. This is really waterfalls. And you kind of stand there and you just go, wow. And that's what Queen Sheba had, all right? Not only that, the Bible says, then she said to the king, she said, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came, saw my own eyes, had seen it, and behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard." You know, today's world, right? Whenever you get a demo, it's always better than the actual. For her, the demo was worse than the actual. She gotten the demo, right? She heard the reports, although she thought. But when she came, she saw all that Solomon had. She said, "Not even half of what I really get to see now." And then she says, "Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel." Can you imagine? So she saw just the amount of excellence. And she kind of go, wow. And then she said, "Blessed is your God." That's what we want. When we serve with the grace of serving, not grudgingly, not out of chore, I just come before God and say, "God, I need now." So we kind of wanted everybody that serve. Our goal is to create a wow. But behind the wow are three little thoughts. Number one, it's your worship. So the big wow was when people walk in, wow. But behind that wow was three little making of the wow. One is, has to be your worship unto God. So I want you to know, whatever you do, whether you sing, whether you usher, whether you do the cake, whether you arrange the chair, whether you wash the toilet, whatever you do, let that be your worship unto God. Number two, that's your ownership. You want to own it. You want to do your best. I love this story that was told to me during this season of a guy by the name of Gideon. Gideon wanted to serve in the worship team. And he went for the audition. The one that auditioned him is my son, Joash. Apparently, the rumors go that Joash has a very high standard. And I can understand because Joash is a high achiever. He wants to give his excellence. So he came and Joash looked at him and says, "You know, Gideon, you are good, but maybe not good enough. And, you know, if you can get glasses, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, you can do it." Now, Gideon was one of those who were not disappointed with that. He walked away. He says, "I will come back, re-audition 3 months later or 4 months later." So he bought a new keyboard. He gotten Jessica to teach him in whatever. I mean, he did everything. And then on Saturday, which is last Saturday, he says, "Pastor, March, I'm going to go through audition again." So I have to pull my son, "Josh, you better pass him." You know, this is, you know, you may not get him worship him, but we're going to lose him in church, okay? You better, you know, then see lah, Chinese church or whatever, you sort it out, lah, okay? But you better pass him, okay? So anyway, have to use the fatherly authority a little bit, okay? But ownership, I like this man. I mean, can you imagine, get a new piano, go for lesson, you know, and says, Pastor, I really want to serve God, you know. I want you to own it. The other guy that I want to highlight is Nelson. Nelson is a new Christian, 1 year old. He came to church at Sound. You know, and if you come for serving Sound once a month, and he tried for the first time, he says, second month he comes, like, he totally forgot everything. So he went to his supervisor, he says, this is not practical. Can I serve as Sound at least twice a month until I get it? You know why? They own it. They want to master it. And then finally, you want to give wholeheartedly. Wholehearted unto God. You know, serve with wow. That's our little branding. I mean, that's the way we call it, okay? But I want to encourage all of you, every one of you, I know that you have served tremendously in this house. So I'm speaking to a lot of you that's really given your best. And I want to say thank you. Thank you. But I want to kind of solidify by helping you to know that's your worship. And then you want to own it. And then you want to do it wholeheartedly. You know, that's the way I would view the way I serve God. I think as a pastor, oftentimes I've not asked people to do things that I have not done. If you talk to any of our office team people, I'm potentially one of the earliest at work. I'm also one of the latest that always go work every day. I have to ask who is staying back with me. And that's not because I'm just trying to give my utmost best to God. Why? Because I believe that whenever we do that, God takes our little bits, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, and put it in His hand, and thousands will be blessed. So let me end by kind of telling you a story. One of the person that recently I led to Christ, his name was Wilson. Wilson was saved last year. And the story that gotten him saved was something like that. He come from a lost star. Corrine was the wife was the first one that got saved in our church. So she has been just getting him to come. And he was so reluctant to come. So he came a few times and I tried to, you know, get to know him, Wilson, you know, and I can see that he kind of put a certain distance. So that's fine. So after a season, he came and then he was quite faithful. So last year, I went to the States, US, and I came back the first 1 or 2 days. And then if you know, you're going to hit a patch of jet lag. So I hit my jet lag. So everything was just upside down. But while I was experiencing, maybe on my 3rd or 4th day, Wilson texts me. He says, Pastor, I don't know, are you back? But I would love to see you if I can. You know, and for the first time, Wilson reached out to me. So I then told my wife, I said, die, I also need to see him. I said, I just got to see him. So I opened up my schedule. Wow, my schedule is so full. And on that day, the only time I can meet Wilson was about 11:30 p.m. And I was having a string of meetings. You know, when you come back, just so many things to do. So, and I was jet lagged. So at about 9:30 or 8:30, I start my meeting. At about 10:30 is my meeting with my Chinese church group of leaders. So I kind of park myself at the kopitiam in-house, and I just meet people one by one. I just kind of, okay, 1 hour, done. Okay, then I move to another table. I sit with them, fresh table, done. Then I move to another table, you know, and then with my same drink, move around, okay? So at about 11:30, I finish, and then he came. So by then, I already had teh tarik, teh tola, and I got everything already, okay? So I have no more energy to drink anymore. And then I was really jet-lagged already, okay? So I was really blur already. So for about 45 minutes to an hour, he was sharing about all his challenges in life. Honestly, I can't recall what did I tell him because I was trying to keep myself awake. I was really Mr. Bean trying to put, you know, I was just talking. Whatever I said in that condition makes sense. So now I realize the best advice to give people is when you are jet lagged. Okay, so whatever I told him, it makes sense. He walked away. He was so grateful and he implemented whatever I said. And he saw the grace of God. And the next week, he came back to church. He says, I encountered the grace of God. Can you lead me in a sinner prayer to say yes to Jesus? And that Sunday, a week later, he said yes to God. And he's growing together. We're serving in kids' church and everything. Just a great couple that we have. And I reflected back. That was because in my heart of heart, that's my worship. And I own it. And I wanted to give my wholehearted. Which is why I did not want to postpone that little meet. It was 11:30, jet lag, everything. I also drink already, cannot wake up. And I gave whatever advice, and it makes sense. And he implemented it. God came through for him. And then he said yes to God. So I want you to know something about when you serve with the grace of God, and not your strength, but the grace of God. I want to end by just praying for the church. I know every one of you are serving. If you are not, then you should. But if you are already serving, I want you to dedicate your serving to God. Can we all do that? Can we stand? I want you to kind of put forth your hand. Just kind of lift, you know, not lift up, but just kind of put out your hand like that, really. And I want you in that posture. You are saying that, God, this is my gift. Use them to honor you. For some of you, it's the ability to sing. Use it to honor God. For some of you, you are super friendly. Be the most smiling usher so that people can be blessed by your smile. God, we come before you this evening. Our hands are wide open. And we are simply saying, oh God, take my 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not a lot, but in your hand, it becomes a lot. Lord, that it will help people to experience the grace of God powerfully. So we surrender our lives and our serving into your hand. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. God bless.